So, a few weeks, for the past few weeks, I've been running different teachings, and the whole series is basically about God's presence. We started about victory in adversity. A lot of times people relate adversity to the absence of God, but that's not necessarily the case. And then last week we talked about, His presence, whereby we differentiated between God being everywhere and God being here. And we talked about some of the reasons why we need God's manifest presence in our lives. And then, we defined what presence was, the quality or the poise of the effectiveness of a person. For example, the actor commands presence. So we did all these definitions last week, and we talked about what presence is. Today, I'll be taking that teaching a little bit deeper, and the title of my message today is His Dwelling Place. His Dwelling Place. His Dwelling Place. So let me paint a picture for you. I started with saying God is everywhere, and then God is here, His manifest presence. And then now, God, this teaching is taking it a step further to say His dwelling place. And what do we mean by His dwelling place? In Acts chapter 7, verse 46, I'll read from verse 46 to verse 50. It says, "Who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in the temples made with hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all things?" Amen. So here we see Solomon. He tried something. He tried to build a place for God. Okay, God, come and live in this place. And God is saying, I can't live in that place. That's not where I want to live. And we'll see some scripture that talks about that. But Solomon tries to plead, and God responds saying, "Look, what house will you build for me? Like, you can't put me in a box. You can't put me in a house. I desire to live beyond the confines of this house that you're building. I desire to live beyond the four walls of what it is that you want to build for me." And then Revelations chapter 21 says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is amongst men, and he will dwell amongst them, and by this his people and God himself will be amongst them.'" And there are other scriptures that you and I know that talks about, God's dwelling place. So, for example, the Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Most, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." What am I painting here? There is a place that God desires to dwell in. Here he explicitly says is that he wants to dwell amongst men. He wants to dwell amongst men. And to that effect, he decided to do something. God sent his presence. Why don't you think about that? He sent his presence in the likeness of the sinful flesh. What does that mean? He sent his presence to come on earth in the person of his son, right? When Jesus was here, he came in the human form, right? So God showed us that, look, my desire is not a house that you built for me. My desire is to live in you. And scripture says something. It says, "And the word became flesh and he dwelled amongst them." The word became flesh and in John chapter 1 verse 14, and he dwelled amongst them. So what does that mean? God's desire is to live in you and I. That's his desire. right? His desire is to live in you and I. One thing he told Abraham, he said, I know Abraham. This was even before Abraham had children. He says, I know Abraham will command his children after me. Right? There's something about godly offsprings. Godly offsprings. God raising godly children and godly offsprings. Picture this. You see, when you become born again, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And amongst other things that happen, when you become born again is your spirit is regenerated. There's a new you. There's an infilling of the Holy Spirit after you get born again and then you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now God is living in you through that, right? Amen? God is living in you through that. I mean, you don't necessarily go back into your mom's womb and be born again and then come out. No. There's a regeneration. It's a brand new spirit that is being recreated. And God is not saying, okay, great. Now there is a place that I can live in you. Amen? There's a place that I can live in you. So God is everywhere. That's one. God shows up now. That's two. But more than that, there are 7 billion people on earth. We are close to 7 billion people on earth. Imagine if every one of us carries that God presence on our inside. That's his desire. Then there will be true influence. Amen? So thank God for 5933 West Madison. I was going to say West Madison. But God is here, great. But more importantly, he wants you to be his dwelling place. He wants you to be a carrier of his person, of his presence. It's good for God to show up. But the Bible, like I said, the word became flesh and it dwells amongst them. Let me give you an analogy. I'm sure you've seen this. There's this advert, I think it's ADT, where the guy is at the bank and then there's a bank robbery. And then he's just watching. And then people are saying, would you call the cops? The guy said, oh, yeah, that I'm just here to monitor so that now I can now, there's a robbery in progress, right? Let's relate that to the presence of God, you see. God's desire is not, okay, God, I'm just here, or there's something happening here. Okay, God, come and show yourself. No. God expects, if anything happens at work, because you are there, your presence is there, and you can take charge. Not you saying, okay, God, let me first go and pray. God, my boss is acting up now. Can you see? What do I do? Then God will now minister to you. That's a level. But the level he desires is if things show up at work or if things show up in a situation and you are there, you speak to those things. Amen? You speak to those things because you are his dwelling place. I carry God. I am a God carrier. I am a carrier of his presence. Amen? I am a carrier of his presence. Let's look at Acts. Acts chapter 17. The Bible says, for in him we live and we move and we have our being. The later verse says, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also what? His offspring. So his dwelling place is to live inside you and me. I am God's offspring. Therefore, nothing is permitted to hold me down. That is God's ammo. That is his mindset when he sent his son to redeem us back. Because if you go back to Genesis, God gave Adam and Eve what? Dominion. He said they should subdue, right? They should dominate things. And he blessed them. So not only did he tell them to go and do it, he empowered them to do it. Amen? So he said, go and do X, Y, Z. But he understands that there's going to be resistance. Here's the blessing. Go and do it because I have empowered you to do things. Amen? So now if we now take it from God is everywhere to God showed up in service or God's manifest presence is here to I am a carrier of God's presence. So therefore, what does that mean? Ladies and gentlemen, there are going to be responsibilities that would demand. If I am a carrier of God's presence, there are going to be responsibilities. There are going to be prices that, there's going to be a price that I have to pay to carry the presence of God. I mean, it's available to everybody, but there is a responsibility that comes with it. Amen? What's the responsibility of carrying God's presence? Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to spend a few time on this. It says, For through the law I died to the law that I might live to God. Sorry, start from verse 19. Verse 19. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, for through the law, I died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It says, it is no longer I who live, but what? Christ lives in me. I am a carrier of God's presence. It says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. There is a responsibility to carry God's presence. One of that is you have to crucify your flesh. Paul was saying this here. I need God's presence. And as a result, the life that I now live, I mean, and let's look at it in literal terms. If I own a house and I am the landlord, I am living by myself, I can do whatever I want to do to that house. It's my house. I can do whatever I want to do. I can put the TV here. I can put the TV on the floor. It's my house. But guess what? The moment I rent that house and there's a new landlord in that house, there's a new occupant of that house, then I can no longer do what I want to do. If you've rented from a landlord before, you would know this. Even if you want to put holes in the wall, you have to first call him. I'm trying to put a hole in your wall. Is it okay? And he'll say, okay, yes, you can go ahead. Then you can hang your TV however you want. But guess what? You first need permission. Because there is a landlord that you are subject to. Put that notion in your mind as you understand what Paul is saying, that the life that I now live is no longer my life. And people can take this in different meaning. I'm not saying if you're going to break the law and use that in a court of law. Yes, it's not your life, but they will arrest that body. Amen? So let's be wise here. And if you know that the life that you now live is not your own, Jesus will not tell you to break the law. Amen? Right. So, but in this talking, you need to understand that this life is not mine. It's not mine. I am a tenant, right? And as a result of that, decisions that I want to make that affects my body, I need to ask and check in with God. I need to ask constantly. Because what? We have established that I carry God. I am a carrier of God's presence. The Bible says that, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Lord? In Corinthians. So why will you not join yourself with an harlot? Right? So there are things that you cannot do. And the reality is this. Just because everybody is doing it does not negate the fact that you should do it. And I'll take it a little bit further. Just because another Christian is doing it does not mean you should do it. Do you know that? Just because another Christian is doing it. Oh, I respect that. She's a sister. She's been born again since 1983. And that's how she does it. What happens if that sister gets a new revelation and changes? But you are running off with, this other sister used to live, so I'm going to act like that. Our standard is scripture, not any other person. Men and women of God are role models to influence scripture. That it's like, okay, look, you see what scripture has done in this person's life. You can say, okay, look, God, if this has happened in this person's life, then God is no respecter of person. Right? So men and women of God would reinforce what scripture is already telling us. Amen? So it's my body. Yes, it's your body, but it is his dwelling place. And as a result of that, it is his rules. If you want to carry his presence, it is by his rules. Amen? If you want to be a citizen of the United States, it is by the rules. You must pay your tax. If you don't want to pay your tax, give us our citizenship, I'll go back home. Amen? So there are certain rules that comes with that responsibility. This is what I want. Okay, it's a great thing. It's a noble thing. But because his dwelling place, because my body is God's dwelling place, then I have to take a step back and understand that, first of all, I have to crucify the number one enemy of that dwelling place, which is my flesh. Bible says, he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians chapter 6. Amen? So we need to take a step back and say, okay, I want God's presence, because this teaching is coming from a place of me asking God different questions. Why is it that this person will speak and person will see results, and somebody else will speak and not see results? They are both Christians. Because I don't know about you, but for me, Christianity is frustrating without the presence of God. That's just what it is. It is frustrating because you can't logically think through it. I mean, my rent is 1,000 and I have 600 and you're telling me to give God. What sense does that make? Amen? Or doctor is telling you something. This is facts. I've tested it. I've touched it. This is what they reported. And you are saying, no, by his stripe I am healed. That doesn't make sense. And the difference is the results, and that result is in the presence and power of God. Amen? We started something, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, when this was what I read last week. We said that in verse 37, he says, and because he loved your fathers, he chose their descendants who followed them and brought you from Egypt with what? With his presence. There's something about God's presence. It's the difference maker. Amen? That presence of God would make all the difference. It will preserve you and I. So, beloved, this evening, understand that there is a responsibility that comes with carrying the presence of God. Now, Jesus says something. He says that my burden is what? Exactly. So the responsibility is not the responsibility of, okay, God, now. It's not a burdensome responsibility. Amen? And that's why in the beginning, when he told Adam and Eve, when he said subdue, when he said go and subdue, he gave them the tools required to subdue. It will have been a different story telling them, go and subdue, and they know they don't have the power. He knows they don't have the power. Then it would make any sense. I can't subdue something that I don't have authority over. If God has given us the authority, then he's telling us to subdue it. And now if I'm carrying God's presence, then why would I move by the storms of life? Why would I mean, what was Jesus doing when he was in the boat? He was, exactly. And that's the difference between somebody that carries the presence of God and somebody that is moving based on happenings. You know, is a difference between joy and happiness. Joy is, I buy you a brand new pair of shoes or I buy you a car. Something, an event happened, then you're excited. But joy is a function of what you know. It's a function of what you know about the situation. And how do you know that? Because what? I carry God. There's God on my inside. It would affect how you relate to other people. I mean, I was trying not to talk about marriage, but I'll just say this. Pardon me, 1 second. From a relational standpoint, I am a strong believer of the fact that 95% of issues that couples have is a function of their relationship with God. What do I mean by that? If you just know that I am presence, I am God conscious, there are certain things you won't even have time for at home. I'm serious. If your husband is acting and your wife is acting funny or whatever the case may be, rather than fight that, focus on getting them back restored to a relationship with God. Because, again, it's by his presence. And God knows that, and that's why he desires to live in you and I. Amen? Because for me, I see a lot of things here. And I believe that as Christians, yes, the power is available to us, but a lot of times we don't understand that there is a responsibility for me. Yes, it's by grace that we are saved through faith. I understand that. But Paul also said something in that same token of grace, that I am what I am by the grace of God. He goes on to say that, despite that grace, yet I labored more than them all. That grace would help you do things that you would not normally do on your own. Amen? There is a grace whereby you are doing things and people just seem like, where do you have the time to get all these things done? It's the grace of God. Amen? So as we talk today, or as the word of God is being communicated to you today, my ask is that you ask yourself, God, help me be a carrier of your presence. What is my responsibility in the next level? I believe strongly in the words that are declared through this pulpit. I believe in it with all my heart. I believe that the man of God doesn't just come here and just say things. No. I believe the moment he says it, there is power to back those things up. And we've said something, that quantum leap. We started this year is a year of divine shift, right? We said, made all those declarations. I know it's by God's presence, but there's a responsibility you and I have to play, because these things will not just happen overnight. The power is there. How do I key in? What? I need to crucify my flesh. It's a constant battle. Because if I want God, if I want his dwelling place, which we have established that is my body is the temple of God. If I want God to manifest through me, then it places a demand on me, on my time. How do I use my time? On my resources. And I use the word here, my. Is necessarily not yours, but on the resources that has been allocated to me, how do I use those resources? Right? On the talents that have been bestowed upon my hands, do I take my talent and just, God, see, everybody is losing their talent, now let me just keep my own. I'll just hide it. When I get to heaven, you told me I could sing. I didn't take it too much far, but at least I didn't lose it. I didn't lose my voice. Here's your talent, but I'll sing to you now, God in heaven. Really? Amen? Those are some of the responsibilities. Now, and I'll also say that this would also require you going out of your comfort zone. And for me, it's something that dawned on me. When you talk about responsibility of his dwelling place, a lot of times you find out that people that do public speaking, they'll tell you that they are shy people. Right? There's something God has placed on their inside for the world, but their own battle or their own mountain is subduing shyness. Right? And again, all of this is tied to what? The presence of God. Why do I need to carry the presence of God? Yes, there's a responsibility, but why do I need to carry that presence? We talked about some of those things last week, but a few things that I want to buttress this evening is what? There is no way you can fulfill what God has called you to do without his presence. It's impossible to fulfill what God has called you to do without the presence of God. And some of us might say that. I know that. I knew that. That's Christianity 101, if there's anything like that. I knew that way back. But a lot of times, it's not what we know. It's what we are doing. I know that if I go to the gym right now, I would, and I want a six-pack, or I want to be ripped or be buff, I know I need to go to the gym and I need to put in the hours. But just because I know it doesn't mean I have six-pack. I've not done the work. I've not done the work. I can pray all I want. I can fast all I want. I can speak to the six-pack. I was listening to somebody, and he said that he was excited about, while medical science was breaking through and breaking new grounds, and he was just excited that one day they're going to come up with a new pill that you just wake up in the morning, you just take it, and you know, you just lose weight automatically, you get in shape. And he noticed that he kept on eating, he kept on getting bigger, and they've not come up with the pill yet. But my point is, he knows what he needs to do, but he's not doing the work. And I don't see anything about that, about us. Because sometimes, as Christians, it's not that we don't know what to do. It's the grace to get things done. Amen? And that's why the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, what? They are the sons of God. And then it says in John chapter 1, it says, but for as many that received him, he gave them what? Power to become. There is an enablement to become. And again, that is why God knows that if my presence, Moses said it, if you are not going to follow me, I am not going. I am not leaving this place. It is by the presence of God. It is by the presence of God. So God knows that for you and I to fulfill what we need to fulfill, we need to be a carrier of his Shekinah glory. We need to be a carrier of his presence. Amen? We need to be a carrier of his presence. And that's why he's like, look, the more people I can live in, the more people that carry my presence, the better the world will be. Glory to God. So when we look at the presence of God and his dwelling place, I talked about the fact that it is us crucifying ourselves to the flesh, right? Paul says that, he says, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. It goes there, it talks about grace again in crucifying himself. He talks about grace. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. That's why you have to first understand that it is not by works. Not saying your works don't matter. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we think that I want the presence of God, and God, why are you not doing this? Yes, God wants to give you that presence as well. God wants to give you those things, but there are things that you have to do. For example, the Bible says, seest thou a man diligent in his business, he will stand before kings and not mere men. You know God has called you to something. At least invest in that thing. At least understand what that thing is. At least spend time, you know, cultivating it, nurturing that talent, watering that seed. Amen? That's what the works of your hands. And again, that goes back to what? The responsibility of his dwelling place. Last week I said vessel unto honor. For you to be a carrier of God's presence, you have to understand that your actions matter. It's about purity. It's about purity. Amen? It's about purity. A vessel unto honor. How do I, you know, my actions don't matter. No, your actions do matter. As a child of God, you hear people say, my actions don't matter. It's what's on my inside. Not necessarily. Everybody that is into brand marketing here will know that, yes, the content matters, but also the packaging matters. Right? Because the packaging has to look right for you to even get to the point of whereby you are seeing what you give yourself time. Okay, what does that package carry? I mean, you and I look at Apple today. It's what? Packaging. and content. Right? You see, it's packaging and content. And there are some other phones, they have the content, but the packaging, you're like, what is this? Lord, help us in Jesus' name. So what am I trying to say? When, as a carrier of God's presence, it is important how I carry myself. It is important how I dress. It is important what I say. It is important what I do on social media. Let me tell you something. If there's something that you and I have been, I mean, that has been going on in the political sphere or lately in the news, is people coming out saying, oh, 40 years ago, this person did something to me. 10 years ago, something did something. That tells you and I that our actions matter. These people will probably, I'm 17. I'm having fun. But the devil knows 40 years from now, he's probably going to be in the presidency. Let me just cramp that testimony now. So now he has done everything, but guess what? Those things from behind the place, we just say, oh, John, you can't do that now. 40 years ago, this happened. And then that's how that vision is aborted. And that's one of the things why I prayed in the beginning, that I will not be disobedient to the heavenly vision. It's not just, yes, I'm going to do all these great things for God, I'm praying and this, but your character matters as a child of God. Your actions matter as a child of God. Amen? If there's anything that I think we need to hammer in the body of Christ now, it's character. If I'm carrying God's presence, then there are some things I will not just say. There are some things I will not just do. There are some things that they will not even mention with my name. Amen? And all of this, again, is the presence of God. The devil knows that is his ammo is what? How do I just derail their testimony? They overcame the word by the word. By the word of their mouth. Sorry, they overcame the devil. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen? So there's the testimony aspect of being a child of God. You have to protect it. Amen? So if there's one thing I want to leave you with today, is I carry God on my inside, and therefore nothing is permitted to hold me down. Amen? I carry God on my inside, and nothing is permitted to hold me down. How do I carry God's presence? Yes, there's the responsibility of how I live, but the primary way is what? Feeding on the word of God. God is in you. So the degree of his word is in you. The more the word of God richly dwells in you, the more God's presence dwells in you. Amen? It is by his word. And that's why he said the word became flesh. The word of God. And he did what? And he dwelt amongst them. The word of God, it has to become flesh in you and I's life. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says, in him was life. In the Word of God is the very life that you and I need. And that Word is what would become flesh in our lives. Amen? So as I close today, I want to close in prayer. You, only you know the things that distract you. Only you know the inner struggles that you have with God, the anxieties, the anxiousness, the doubt sometimes, the questions. There are things that are like, God, I'm not sure of this. And it's okay. I mean, a few weeks ago, we're here and we're having the School of Discipleship, and we're talking about emotions and things like that. There's a place of emotions. Point out your emotions to God. But what I'm talking this evening is more of the things that are limiting you from pressing in. Because, ladies and gentlemen, all of us in this church, it is my prayer that we must all experience quantum leap. It's not for the few. It's not for just the pastors. It's not for just the spiritual brothers. No, it's for whosoever will. That's the word of God. So we are going to experience quantum leap in our careers, in our families, in our lives, in our finances, in our health, in ministry, in every area of our lives. So the prayer is this. We can rise up to our feet as I close with this prayer. Is that, Father, help me. If there's anything limiting me from pressing into your presence, if there's anything distracting me from focusing on what it is that you have called me to do, help me do away with those things. These are some prayer points that I usually pray, because I believe distraction is one of the things that the devil uses. He just comes, as he told Eve. Did God really say that? We're asking this evening. Yeah, I mean, Eve was fired up. God said we should not do something. And then the devil just, did he really say that? So we're asking this evening, every spirit of distraction, everything limiting us as individuals, in our habits, in character, in decision making, in how we do things, that is limiting your presence, that is limiting your ability in me, in us, in this church, we are asking that you help us do away with it in the name of Jesus. Everything limiting us, slowing us down from being who you have called us to be, we are asking in the name that is above every other name, that we do away with those things, that you help us identify them so that we can do away with them in the name of Jesus. Then the next thing that we are going to pray, there's still a lot that can be done this year. I don't know what things that you are trusting God for, but God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, God created this earth that we know, as we know of it, in what? In 6 days. And how many 6 days are there till the end of the year? So God can decide to create earth every other 6 days from now, and there'll be new earths, right? So we're going to ask God, those visions, I want you to go back to them. That zeal that you had in January when Pastor declared divine shift. When you get home this evening, bring those things out and just lay hands on them and begin to call those things into manifestation. It is not by talking, it is by the grace of God. Yes, your mind can say, well, if I haven't gotten it done in 11 months, 11 months is almost over, what makes you think that I will get it done in the 12th month? You go and ask Jacob, when Isaac asked him, how did you get it so quickly? How did you get it so quickly? He said, the God of my fathers. He said, the Lord helped me. So we are asking for help this evening. I want you to raise your piano and say, God, help me in this season. Help me accomplish everything that you have designed for me to accomplish in 2017. 2017 will not end another year of carryovers and saying, well, this year I tried, but I didn't accomplish those things. No, we are asking, there will be no carryover in 2017. every single thing that you have called me, that you have placed on our inside for this year, by your presence, we are asking that we get it done. We are asking for grace. We are asking that you carry us as a church. You carry us as families. You carry us as individuals to experience all that you have called us to do in the mighty name of Jesus. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. It is simply by your favor. It is by your presence, oh God. It is by your might that we'll get these things done. It is by your right hand. Oh, Father, we give you all the praise. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we know that this is our best year yet. We know that the remaining part of these days, the remaining days in this year, we would experience quantum leap like never before. We will begin to move in your presence and in your favor like never before. Like your blessing would encompass us like a shield in the mighty name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, we will begin to move in your presence like never before. Live in your presence like never before. Dwell in your presence like never before. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.